The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Hey there, welcome to a brand new episode of The Undercurrent. I'm Tara Sloan. As always, so happy to be with you. I feel like I should do a check-in, Sharks fans. How are you? Are you okay? It has been quite a start to the season, has it not? After an exciting opener, Macklin Celebrini nets his first NHL goal in his first game. In spite of a loss that night, things look promising. Yes, but then things take a slide. Macklin is injured and the team loses the next 8 games. No Sharks fans, this is not the start we wanted to this season, but here we are again. And then things turn around again. The momentum shift comes with a come-from-behind overtime victory in Salt Lake City. It's new Sharks centerman Alexander Wennberg with a helper on the tying goal that night. Then nets the overtime winner. Boom, the Sharks win 3 in a row, and the promise of a new era is with us again. Welcome to the roller coaster ride that is being a San Jose Sharks fans, but we'll take it. Even last night, as I record this, they played last night against Vancouver. It was a close one. They're in it. So we're seeing a different looking Sharks team. The promise is there. I spoke to Alexander Wennberg just before the season started. Wanted you guys to get just a sense of who he is, get to know him a little bit. So check out our conversation. Well, Alex, let me ask you, how has your experience been in San Jose so far? You've had a few months to settle in.
Yeah, no, so far so good. Obviously, you kind of like get into new city, try to find a place, get your moving boxes. So it's been a lot of things to do, a lot of things to explore. But I mean, so far it's been amazing. Obviously, the weather's been unbelievable. I mean, I didn't know it was this hot around here. But other than that, it's been great. I mean, my family and it's all getting settled in. I think that just helps being better on the ice as well. So far, we have a good trip.
Is there anybody specifically who has kind of helped you orient yourself there?
I felt like a Swedish guy. You kind of lean back on your fellow Swedish man. So Söderlund has been one of the guys that lives like full size. So for a certain amount of time here, I didn't really have a car. So he kind of like was waiting for me all day to kind of like pick me up and drive me around. So I feel like that is that helps a lot, especially coming to a new team and you don't really know people and those guys you kind of like met before and all that. So that helps. So you kind of lean on them. And then obviously I play with Goody now in the Rangers, which is also like kind of helps to kind of like lean back on as well. So that makes the whole moving team, changing team a little bit easier for sure.
I guess the longer you're in the league, the fewer degrees of separation. Now you start to, you know, have some familiarity no matter where you go, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, right now I tried a few teams as well. So there's always someone you play with or someone to play with them. So yeah, you're creating connections everywhere.
Well, I got to ask you, I'll jump to this question because William Eklund and Fabian Zetterlund have become this sort of inseparable duo. Obviously, they're both fantastic hockey players, but they're pretty funny together. Have you spent time off the ice with the two of them?
A little bit. I mean, I wouldn't say too much. Right now, I'm too busy chasing around my two kids. But right. they say, I mean, they're young as well. So they say, like, they're excited to come over and help out and play mini sticks with them. So I feel like it's going to be more of that. I mean, obviously, right now in the beginning, it's been a lot, obviously, training camp and then you're like hanging out with the family. But I'm excited right now. You're getting this team building more and more with the whole team, but with them as well, to go out, eat dinner, go on road trips and all that, which just helps you build bigger bonds. So excited about that. But like so far, I'm having a blast with them as well. They're funny guys. And obviously, those two guys, like you said, they just feel like there's two peas in a pod. So it's kind of fun to tag along with.
And just for reference, you and I are speaking just a few days before the home opener. Another duo now that has emerged, Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith, apparently they've become absolutely attached at the hip in San Jose. In what ways have these kids impressed you?
I mean, obviously, right now you look and you see the age of these guys, and you remember when you were in the shoes, and you can just see how comfortable they are, how skilled they are, and just the way they're handling themselves around the rink and all that. I mean, they're so professional. They're doing the extra work, doing the small things. I mean, there's a lot of pressure on them as well, and you can just tell like these guys are ready for it. So you see them kind of like just like come into this role and just have like the impact they have. Obviously, we haven't started yet, but just from like what you see in the preseason and just to how they are around the room. Like you're excited to see them right there. You're excited to be a part and play with them for sure.
So you're 700 plus games into your NHL career. You're 30 years old. So, what kind of leadership do you bring to this locker room? Because obviously it was imperative to sort of make sure that there was a good balance in the locker room this year.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously, there's great guys that have been here before. So I feel like you have kind of like this core thing. And I mean, obviously, I've been around the league for quite some times and have some experience. And I mean, me as self, I mean, I'm a former first rounder coming into the league as young guys. And I mean, right now, we're going to have two centermen right here going into the same role. So I remember things that made it difficult and made things that helped me out. So I used to be kind of like in that part of aspect as well. And so I mean, obviously, I'm here for that, to bring the experience and knowledge, but I'm also here to play some good hockey as well for myself. So excited to, I mean, even though I'm 30 years old, like you said, I still have a lot left in me. So excited about to also kind of like push them to become better, because they're gonna help me to become better as well. So
Well, tell me about how your role has sort of, evolved with the Sharks. How are you fitting into the team on the ice?
yeah, I mean, obviously, we've been trying out a little bit on training camp, different lines and all that, but I feel like I find some chemistry with Gaudreau and Cunning. So obviously, a line that can just play all over the ice, maybe be a little bit more defensive minded and can play in those areas a little bit, but also a threat to score offensively as well. So I think right there, that's a great role for us right there. And then obviously, games is going to develop. There's going to be different situations. And I feel like that's where I come in hand, that you can play me wing, center, whatever you need me at the point. I kind of like adjust for it, which I think is just hopefully at least help the coaches to like help you get more ice time and help you win games. So,
A Swiss Army knife, except Swedish.
exactly, pretty much.
Swedish Army knife.
Sweet army knife.
Tell me a little bit about your family and growing up in Sweden, your parents and how you even started playing hockey.
I mean, my dad played hockey, not professional, but there's just always been hockey around. And then, I mean, I pretty much play every sport back in Sweden, tried them all. And then at the end of the day, came down to playing either hockey or soccer. And I always think hockey was a little bit more fun. I always had my dad was a coach there. He kind of like just always around, enjoyed that, to kind of like have that bond with him. But other than that, I mean, it just moved pretty quick. I got hurt and then missed kind of like big steps. And then all of a sudden, I went from one team to another. So in 6 years, I've moved six teams, and we're just climbing up the ladder. And then all of a sudden, you're in the Swedish Hockey League, and then you're in the NHL. So kind of like just quick how that went. I mean, if you ask me, when I was probably 15, 16, I'm not pretty sure I wasn't the guy that was going to make the NHL. So it's kind of like unreal and cool experience that way. But other than that, I mean, just I mean, for me, hockey, it's number one, like doing that. But I mean, for me right now, family's always been like the first, like what I prioritize most. And I mean, obviously, mom and dad right now, with a beautiful wife and my two kids, I feel like that's where I also like hang my hat on. So for them to be part of this journey as well, to see my son Rio kind of like watching me on the ice and notice that it's me and like recognize that, it just makes this whole experience and like being away from Sweden, your homeland, and play hockey, just makes it even more better. So yeah, that's pretty much what I like about it as well. So
Do you think that becoming a parent has changed your perspective at all, or have you always just had that sort of family mindedness, I guess?
no, I think it changed. I think I always had that family mindset, but I mean, having your own kids just changed the whole thing. Obviously, especially like playing this league before kids and after, is the way like sometimes you have a bad game, good game, there's highs and lows when you didn't have kids. And right now, like sometimes it feels like you can hold me, you see their smiles and their joy and all that, and it just makes the life a little bit easier. So that is just something I think has just helped me become a better person and like, I mean, in general, a better hockey player as well. So.
Who were your idols growing up?
Always a big fan of Peter Forsberg, probably me and every other Swede in the entire league. But I mean, there's such an icon he is, and the way he played and all that. Obviously, he was a centerman as well, so there's a lot of things you kind of like look up to. But Great player. When I get a little bit older, though, I think my game, I kind of like try to be similar to Nicklas Backstrom in Washington. See a little bit to like a couple of tricks he does and the way he's playing the game. I feel like that kind of like fitting in what kind of like player, like playmaker style I am. And obviously, I feel like to this day, you still watch and learn from a bunch of players. So I just keep my eyes open and see, like, even when we talked about these young kids, if they have something to learn from. It's just cool. I mean, every now and then you kind of pinch your arm and say you're playing the NHL and you just take in everything around you and what you're going through. So,
I like to hear that because sometimes, you find yourself at the end of a journey and you realize that you haven't really paid attention. So it's good. So when do you have those moments that where you kind of stop and go like, holy crap, I'm here?
yeah, I know. And that's the thing. Every now and then you kind of just go into this routine every day. You work hard. I mean, it's like you said, this is year number 11 for me. And it just feels like you've been doing, played 700 games, something. And then every now and then you kind of like realize that you play like, oh, I mean, growing up, this is your dream playing NHL. You're in the US. I mean, obviously, pretty sweet to live in a different country and all that. So I don't know if there's a certain things that need to happen for me to have those moments, but every now and then you kind of just like, it's kind of crazy what kind of life we live in. So, but you got to enjoy it as well. I think that's a key thing as well. You're not just supposed to be here doing your job. You kind of have a little bit of excitement and joy about it as well.
Well, I feel compelled to tell you that my very first favorite hockey player was Mats Naslund. So I'm
Mads
Canadian,
Nielsen,
yeah, but
yeah.
I loved him. I was a Montreal Canadiens fan as a kid. But
Yeah.
anyway, I'm veering off course. What about coaches or mentors along the way? I mean, obviously, I'm sure your dad was one of those as a coach to you. But were there some people who really informed your life's path?
I don't know. It's hard to tell. I would say I had some good coaches. I had some tough coaches that have been hard on you as well. But I mean, at the end of the day, every coach has a different style to do it. There's some people I think reach me a little bit more than other. But I mean, it feels like I said, I changed a lot of teams, six different teams, and six different coaches. So it's been like a lot of different coaches during my days. I would say, for me, I had Tortorella, which I think it's probably one of the toughest coaches I had, but probably one of them that made me grow up the most and kind of like, I mean, went through a rough patch right there, but I think it helped me become a better player afterwards. And then had Quenneville in Florida, which I think just kind of like helped me with my game a little bit. So I wouldn't say there's anyone that sticks out and be like, this guy was a different maker. But I think like for me, it's kind of like the journey. It's like every one of them has like influence in their different way and helped me become the one, the player I am today. So I feel like it's just the whole kind of like package of all of them together. So
Obviously, your family is paramount. What else do you do away from the rink? And how important is it to kind of, have a real separation between your life at the rink and then your life at home and doing other extracurricular activities?
I mean, at the end of the day, I feel like you think about hockey a lot. Like there's so many games and all that. For me, I feel like whenever I have the time off, I try to spend it as much as I can with the kids and family. So, and I mean, for me, it's just what I enjoy the most. Obviously, there's other fun things to play golf and come out and kind of like relax. But I mean, there's so many days you're away from family and all that. So I try to soak in as much time to hang out with them as much as I can. So, oh
And they're fun. They're at a fun age too.
yeah,
Ages.
fun age, but it's busy as well. But at
I'm
the end of the day,
sure.
you're gonna look back and it like time flies. I mean, even right now we're talking about year 11 for me, and my son just turned 3, and you kind of like where the time flies. But and that's what I mean right now. I'm just trying to enjoy it as much as I can. I mean, I'm here to win. I'm here to do my best, all that. But I do enjoy the life and like to see everything that's going on around hockey and like the way we live. So I'm in a good place, and I'm just trying to like make the best out of the opportunity you have.
You and your wife Felicia have been very active in sort of communities and LGBTQ plus organizations, and you're very allied in that way. Why is that important for you to sort of make sure that you're part of the community that you're living in?
I mean, I think it's important. Obviously, we have the privilege to live this life, and we make a lot of money as well. And there's so many people less fortunate. And I mean, there's this problem in this world. And at the end of the day, if I can make it like a little bit of different, help someone change their mind or help someone push them in the right direction and to feel like they belong and like can be a part of it, like that's the least thing I can do. So Obviously, there's always more you can do, but there's baby steps. So we try to make a couple of things. Like last year, we played it 10 years, so we were donating to 10 different charities that we felt like was important, everything from animals to LGBTQ. So just small things that I think that can help, not only for myself to feel better, I feel like it's for everyone else, and also like spread the words. We're kind of like public figures. So if you can make a statement, make something, like I said, influence someone, I feel like that could be worth just like putting out there. So.
You know, typically, I mean, I don't know if this is sort of a stereotype, but it seems to be true that, you know, hockey players have been sort of the toughest to crack, and sort of you haven't typically seen personalities emerge until now, right? There's sort of like a lot more presence on social media. People are, you know, just really, I guess, showing the world who they are a little bit more. But you're somebody who has experienced online harassment. So, you know, you understand that there has to be a boundary between you as a human being and you as a public figure. How do you create that boundary?
No, I think this was hard. I mean, obviously, like you talk about public figure, like whatever you post is out there. And I mean, people are free to do whatever they want. But I mean, they come to a certain point where like enough is enough. And for us, I mean, the incident, I mean, I bet it started out harmless. But at the end of the day, for me, that's why like I think it's important to what you put out there, the contents, like there's got to be. There's a certain way to do it that makes it right, and the way we felt with that whole thing, the harassment, especially like things the attack kind of like against my wife, and I mean it all comes down to that. We said like, hey, enough is enough. It's a little bit too much, and then it just escalates. So that's why I mean obviously it's that's why we felt like now I've been taking a little bit step back from there because at the end of the day, like. It's fun to be in the public eye, but for us, like we don't really need that. And if it's something that harms us and like kind of like makes us feel uncomfortable, we'd rather stay away from it. So right now it's all sorted out, like it worked out. But I think that's an important lesson because at the end of the day, like we're all humans. I'm not saying that it was tough for us for sure, but you can usually learn from it. And for us, we kind of learned that, hey, we got to be a little bit smarter about things that happens out there, what get out. And we kind of like said our piece about it, and we're happy with our statement and what we did. And then we kind of like have to move on. And right now it feels like I mean, obviously it's been almost a year or something. So it feels like things kind of like faded away. But I think that's a good lesson to be learned for us at least there. So.
Well, and there's obviously a greater conversation to be had about the just bizarre level of comfort that, you know, people in their anonymity feel like they can just absolutely, you know, just be ruthless and cruel. And so it's, yeah, at the end of the day, you're a human being. We're all human beings. So it would be
Yeah.
nice to for people to treat each other so, although that's unfortunately not the way of the world at the moment.
Exactly. And I mean we can go through the whole thing, but I mean for us it's just like it's so tough because like I said, it's people have the right to do whatever they want. Obviously some content is not gonna be too clean, but it's just a tough topic. And like I said, you feel like there should be some kind of level on it, but all you do is kind of like move on and learn from it, and that's pretty much how we go about our business at the moment. So
Well, like I said, we're speaking just a few days out from the home opener. You know, I know I've just been reading on Twitter, rosters are being announced. It was announced that Macklin will be playing on Thursday night, so that's really good news for everybody. How are you feeling? I mean, you've had a few opening nights in your time, but it's still pretty cool.
no, it's really cool. And then obviously right now coming in for a new team, there's a new excitement. You're putting on a new uniform, new fans and all that. And I mean, you get nervous for it. And I think it's good. You need like those butterflies to get to you. It lets you know that you're excited about something. So yeah, I mean, right now also you're kind of like done like training camp. You've been doing all skating. So right now you're kind of like excited for a bit. Can you just be thirsty already and get going? So you're kind of like right now it's kind of like jumping and ready to go. So yeah, I think everyone's excited for what's ahead. So
Well, I will see you in San Jose. I want to thank you so much for your time. And yeah, this is a really exciting time to be a Sharks fan, and I'm glad you're part of it. Thank you.
thank you very much.
So thank you to Alex. In spite of a few technical difficulties, hopefully you got a lot out of that conversation. And obviously those guys are so tight on time. So I really want to thank him for taking the time to chat with me. I want to thank you for being a loyal listener as you are. I'm so happy to be back doing this with you for the third season. So that does it for this episode of The Undercurrent. Be back in a couple weeks with a brand new one. In the meantime, keep your sticks on the ice and your fins above water.